We're going to meditate the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's important to realize that we all have an instinctive rejection of pain and suffering, and that's why it's so difficult for us to meditate the passion of Christ. No one likes suffering, and no one likes to see other people suffer. But we have to watch every detail, contemplate every detail of the passion of our Lord, because it is the greatest expression of love. There is no greater love than he who lays down his life for his friends. Our Lord has laid down his life. As we contemplated last night, he willingly surrenders himself into the hands of his enemies, knowing every detail that awaits him, every detail of the passion. And after having spent a long, lonely night in prison, during which many took advantage of the moment to try to insult him and continue to beat him, we can contemplate our Lord brought before Pilate, Pontius Pilate, knowing that he is innocent makes him scourged. He hands him over to be scourged. And we have the aid of an image before us of our Lord Jesus Christ with his whole body open. His whole body is an open wound. We can imagine those whips with the pieces of metal hanging on them as they enter into the flesh of our Lord and rip his body open. Those who have seen the movie of the Passion of Christ are able to contemplate this scene more easily. And especially there's certain moments when those metal pieces dig deep into his flesh, and they get stuck in his flesh, and the soldiers rip violently, tearing pieces of the body of Christ. Our Lord suffered the scourging at the pillar, especially to make reparation for and to forgive, especially sins of the flesh. Sins of impurity. When someone consents willingly to sins of the flesh, they are scourging the body of Christ. They are ripping his body into pieces. And they scourge him every part of his body. And there's a pool of blood forming on the ground, the blood that washes us. Every time we go to confession, that pool of blood is what cleans our soul. And then, not content with just the scourging, they crown him with thorns. He becomes an object of mockery, ridiculed, laughed at, despised, spat upon. And he there makes reparation for our sins of pride. He humbled himself, he who is God, he who has an infinite dignity, humbles himself, and they bend the knee before him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews. Hail, King." And we can think, how many times have we bent the knee before our Lord in a way that really was not adoration, that was really just a mockery. Our heart was not in it. That we've been in the presence of Christ so many times and been thinking about anything else but Him, making a mockery of Him. You can imagine yourself in a line with other people, with as the soldiers went one by one before Him, each rivaling with each other to see who could insult Him more, whether it be spitting upon Him or striking Him, throwing dirt in His face. And you can watch one by one as the ones in front of you all strive to despise Him as best they can. And now it's your turn. Will you follow the crowd? Will you do what everyone else does? Will you spit upon Him like everyone else just did? Or will you be that one person who refuses to do so? Will you recognize Him for who He is? Will you refuse to follow the crowd and be the one who decides to console Him? And they condemn Him to death. Pilate knows that He's innocent, but he condemns Him to be crucified, following the demands of the crowd. And we can follow the footsteps of our Lord as He struggles with the weight of the cross, with the weight of every one of our sins, and watch how He falls over and over again. And every time He gets back up, to teach us also that every time we fall, we have to get back up. We have to keep going. His love drove Him to the cross. He ardently desired the cross. He embraced the cross because He loved so much. He loved us. He knew each one of us. He saw our faces. He knew every moment of our history, our lives, every moment from the very moment of our conception to the moment of our death. He knows every detail. In the moment when He embraces the cross, He was thinking about each one of us. And we can also contemplate that moment when Jesus encounters His mother along the way. And that look from the heart of Mary, the heart of Jesus, that meet and they feel the pain of one another. They suffer to see the other suffering. They feel more pain for what the other feels than what they themselves feel. That is true compassion, to feel the pain of the other. And that is what we must do as we contemplate the passion of Christ, to forget even just for one moment our own pain, our own suffering, our own problems, and to think about His pain, what He feels. And then Simon of Cyrene is the one who is chosen, at first unwillingly, is forced to help our Lord carry His cross. We can think how many times our Lord asks us to help him. When he gives us a small share in his suffering, when he allows us to go through a difficult time, a moment of trial, he gives us a small share in his suffering and asking us to help him carry his cross. And how is our reaction? How do we react? Do we complain? Do we add more to his burden? Or do we put our shoulder under the cross and help him? Do we also embrace the cross as he does? And then when he finally makes it up the hill, bleeding, sweating, they nail him to the cross. And again, we have to feel his pain. Once I was with a group of young kids, and I told them to try to imagine in this moment what Jesus felt as a nail went through his hand. And I told them to extend their hand, to look at their hand, look at their own hand, and to think right now a nail was going through their hand. And there was a young boy about 5 years old who started to cry. He felt the pain. He felt the pain of Jesus in his own body, in his own hand. Not physically, but he realized how much it hurt. The problem is often we become accustomed to the thought of the passion. Yeah, I already know Jesus died on the cross. I already know he was nailed to the cross. And that's why we aren't able to feel his pain. But if you imagine on the cross, instead of looking at and seeing the face of Jesus, you see the face of the person you most love in this world, whether it be your wife, your husband, your child, your best friend, and you see the face of that person on the cross suffering before you, then you start to feel something different. And why don't we feel that when it is our Lord, our God, the one who infinitely loves us, who is there on the cross? And as they're nailing him, he cries out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." He excuses us, even as we're nailing him to the cross. Forgive them. And he so teaches us in this way the importance of forgiveness, that we can never say, I can't forgive that person, that's too much. Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. And our Lord felt that thirst for love, knowing that we would give him vinegar, bitterness, complaints, coldness, indifference, when he only asks for love. He is a beggar. He makes himself a beggar of love, begging for our love. And while he's on the cross, he wished to give us another great gift. As he had given last night, he gave us his own body and his own blood. And he saw there his mother, and he realized, I have something else I could give. I could give my mother. Give my mother to be the mother of all. Behold your mother. Behold your mother. And next to him there were two thieves. At first, they also shared in the mockery, saying to him, save us and save yourself. But one of them realized, by seeing how he suffered, this is no ordinary man. And he said to him, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He realized that he really is a king, and he has a kingdom that is not in this world. Today you will be with me in paradise. That's his kingdom. His kingdom is heaven. And he also feels, Jesus feels, abandoned by the Father. He feels as if he's not there in his human nature. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? How many times have we had the temptation, or maybe actually said, where is God? What does God understand about suffering? God doesn't understand what it's like to go through this. And there he is, on the cross, to show us that he does understand. He does understand what it's like to suffer. He has suffered. And he turns to his father, even though he felt as if he was abandoned, he makes an act of total trust. He says, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. That's what we must do. We must trust in God, even though we feel like he's abandoned us, even though we feel like he's not with us. We must make an act of total trust. Jesus, I trust in you. You understand what it's like to suffer. I trust in you. And after having given everything, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. He laid down his life. He gave his life willingly, freely. The ultimate gift of love, the gift of his very self. And then we can also contemplate the lance, the spear that penetrates his heart. And the blood and water that flows out to wash us clean. His grace and his mercy poured out for us. The mystery of the Passion is overwhelming, it is impossible to contemplate it all. And that's why we must invoke the Holy Spirit, ask the Holy Spirit to guide our time of prayer, to help each one of us to know in what moment of the Passion we must stop at to penetrate, to contemplate without a rush, to immerse ourselves in that moment, even just one moment. It might just be the gaze of Christ. It might just be the moment when the nail enters his hand, the moment when they're spitting on Jesus. Just one moment even could last a whole lifetime to meditate on. So ask the Holy Spirit in this time of prayer to lead your prayer time, to help you to know where you're supposed to be watching and accompanying our Lord during his Passion.